be there, let there be peace on earth. Okay, yeah, let there be peace on earth. For that one, I got a lot of high notes there. Okay, what's another one? 144. Okay. 144. This is my Father's world. Pastor, do you know this one? Go ahead, everybody. Oh, there's Chris way back there. 145. That's right next door. Morning has broken. Okay. Cat Stevens. Yeah, Cat Stevens. Okay. Morning has broken like the first morning. Verse 3. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden's all play.
praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
That's a nice one. Okay. We got time for a couple more. Okay, Gary, give me one. You're looking? Okay. That's okay. Oh, yeah. Let's see. 361? Oh, 261. 261. 261. Okay. Lord of the Dance. Okay, does anybody know this one? You know this one? I've heard it. Okay. I think we got it. I think it's time for the service. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church on this glorious, glorious day. And I think we should enjoy it because I heard that it's supposed to rain like by Wednesday. So get out there and enjoy it. We have a few announcements today. And they are. First of all, we'd like to wish all our November birthdays happy birthday. I'm not going to go through them all because I think only Austin is here. Happy birthday, Austin. But happy birthday to all of those people. The November newsletter is available in the Narthex. Grab one if you haven't gotten it or read it. Please contact the office if you'd like to get it online, and or if you want to come in and pick it up at the church instead of being mailed one. The annual charge conference reports are due on Wednesday the 15th. The first, there's a little note there, first group to get their reports into Lauren will be eligible for a prize. That's one way to get us to turn them in. On next Saturday, we're going to have Put It Together. And Put It Together is going to be just a group of anybody who wants to come. We're going to meet in the Matthews room over in the hall. And if you quilt, crochet, make cards, do whatever you want, it's more about the fellowship. And but bring the projects you want to finish, because that's a lot of times the only way that I finish anything. And you can either call Dina or myself if you have any questions about it. But it's anything. And if you just want to come, bring a lunch and sit and enjoy us and talk to us. And I'm fun to talk to. Okay, and then next Sunday will be the all-church Thanksgiving meal. And you, as you can see, there'll be turkey and salmon and mashed potatoes and the whole nine yards. And if you'd like to sign up to help bring some of the sides, the turkey and the salmon are taken care of, and I do the gravy, so don't worry about that. It goes with the turkey that I'm cooking. So if you can bring anything to help with the meal, we would appreciate it very much. And turn in your order form for the meal so that we can have a count on everybody. It's back on the table back there by the collection plate. And there's a lot of things back there you should pick up. There's a sign up for the next church luncheon with the pastor. Oh my gosh. And there's also a flyer for Parents Night Out, which, and they're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner, and that's next Friday, the 17th, between 6 and 8:30 p.m. And if you would RSVP to Deb by the 14th, so they can get a, having a number count is good. Restaurants need that, so do we. So, join us for Consecration Sunday, which is also next Sunday, and your pledge cards, which are also on the table back there. If you could bring them into the office or put them in the offering plate, we would like that. And if you'd like to join the book club, there's going to be a book club starting on November 21st. The first book that they're reading is The Queen's Secret by Karen Harper. And then, as you can see, Evening Class, A Place for Us, and Lessons in Chemistry. And they all sound like really good books. So if you just want to come and hear the discussion, because I used to belong to a book club. We did it quite differently than this. But what we got was a lot of good recommendations for books, and that's what this kind of thing helps, if you like to read. And even if you don't. We are going to decorate the sanctuary after church on the 26th. We could use everybody. If you would stay after church and help us decorate, go have a cup of coffee, and then help bring the stuff over, it goes really quickly with a lot of hands, or we could really use your help. That's nice. The admin council members and the annual church charge conference will be on November 30th. Congregation members are welcome to attend to that. And I guess it's going to be on Zoom. So if you contact the office, they'll give you the link so that you can see what's happening on that. Hearts Grow is on the second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon and then stay until the end of fellowship time. And that's very nice. And then the next movie will be on December 2nd, and it's The Man Who Invented Christmas. Come to these movies if you're not. They're really fun, and Deb picks out really good movies. Then also on December 3rd, the African Children's Choir will be here in town, Redlands actually. They will be at the Redlands United Methodist Church at 7 o'clock, and they put on a concert, and they've been here every year for the last few years, and they're very good, very, very good. And I think that's about it. The next pastor's luncheon will be December 13th at noon at Legend 8 in Calamasa. The cost will be $15. Prices have gone up a little bit at that restaurant, but the food is still absolutely fabulous. The company is fabulous. Come and join us.
It'll be another special, Christmas special, so the cost will be $10 instead of $15.
Ooh, $10. Yay. We like that. Then you can spend the other $5 on some other present for somebody. Okay, now if you will stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Our hymn will be I Sing of My Redeemer, and it's the insert in your...
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. May the dead have made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. The death and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant palter. How the victory gives over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. May the dead and made me free.
That was very nice. Now it's time for the passing of the peace. Say hello to your friends and neighbors.
All righty. All right, let's recognize some of our faithful worshipers on Zoom. And we are always happy to see Helen up in Chico. She never misses our worship. Hello, Helen. And also June and Joyce, they do not miss our worship either. So good to see you. And April, Bill have come to join us on Zoom as usual. And we have Alicia and David and Pastor Dina joining us on Zoom as well. Who else do we have? We have one on iPad. Is that me? No, maybe
not.
And maybe that's it. Well, welcome and welcome.
Now it's time for joys and concerns. So raise your hand if you've got a joy or a concern.
There's always something to pray about. And I have a coworker who has a close friend named Angelica who got, I don't know the technical term, melanoma in her eye. And this has happened sometimes. And so she just had something inserted that's supposed to kill off the melanoma, but it's a very dangerous situation, so please pray for Angelica.
And how is the guy that had the seizures?
He is hanging in there, and they are suggesting a surgery to partially remove an area of his brain. His name is Sergey. So we should continue to pray because they're trying to decide. Well, in a way, they have no choice. So we need to pray the surgery will go well.
Thank you.
And I mean, of course, so good to see you, Barry, again. Welcome. Welcome.
And it's good to have Young and Chung back.
Susan is back from Argentina. And Lorraine told me some funny stories about Lorraine's calling Susan while she was in Argentina. She thought that, you know, she was answering the phone here in Yucaipa, but she was down there. And then she could also call her back from Argentina. So... welcome back, Susan.
Anyone? Welcome back, Young and Chung.
Hope I know, from the trip.
Wonderful trip.
Yes.
We missed you.
Glad that you have come back safe and sound.
And happy birthday, Brian Porter, who's here.
Brian, and yes, wonderful. And Gina, so good to see you, Gina. And also... we have Andy and Frankie. Frankie is up there in the balcony.
Hi, Frankie.
They are my old friend. I mean, they're not exactly as old as I am, but from my previous parish.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. I have a joy. Once again, I got invited to go down to see the babies, and I just love doing that, and so that's my joy. I think I had a concern, but I've forgotten what it was, so it couldn't have been too bad.
I have a cousin now, second cousin, I guess. My cousin's daughter, Monica Cox, was just in a head-on collision in Denver. Got it from both ways. The car was completely destroyed. She miraculously survived, and not too bad, but there's some concerns that she may be, compartment syndrome may be setting in, which is very serious, so keep Monica in your prayers.
April, go ahead.
Deb knows this. I shared her last week, but our son's son, Colorado, slipped on some black ice while he was carrying a heavy 12-volt battery, and he fell on it, and he broke three ribs, and one of them punctured his lung. So he's been in the hospital this week, and he did get out, and he he's back to work on light duty, but he needs your prayers. Please.
Deb, would you mind sharing that again?
April, what's your son's name again?
Scotty.
Doug?
Scotty.
Oh, Scotty. Okay. Scotty fell on black ice in Colorado, and his ribs broke and punctured his lungs. So he's been in the hospital all week. So please pray for Scotty for continued healing. He's out of the hospital and back home and on light duty, but he still needs healing. So pray for Scotty. And for April and Bill, because it's always hard to be a mom far away.
Sure is.
Anybody else on Zoom have a request? Raise your hand.
And of course, we want to continue our prayers for Rachel. Rachel, you are doing great. Hanging in there. Keep it up. We are all praying for you. And Peggy, she told me like about a week ago, her doctor is now going to give her some physical therapy. She needs some rehab. She's at home. So we'll continue prayers for Peggy for healing. And Lorraine is now in the assisted living. When I went to see her last week, she said that the doctors allowed her to go back home, which was a really, really exciting news. So I think she, once she has all the exercises done, how to get out of the bed and move around safely in the house, she would be allowed to go back home. So that's a good news, but continued prayers for Lorraine as well.
Now, if you'll join me in the unison prayer, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all the prayer requests that have been brought to us this morning, remembering our loved ones, those people that we know of who are in need, for the situation in Israel and Ukraine. We need peace of Christ Jesus in this world today. Let us remember them all in our prayer. Lord Jesus, we are often forgetful while we are chasing after the affairs of this world. We often wonder about your involvement in this world. Well, we have many questions about how this world is running. We have many questions about where we are, where we are going, about our problems, issues that we have to deal with in our daily living. We sometimes doubt about you, O Lord, when we have questions and about unanswered prayers. But we still come to you, O Lord, with all these questions and doubt. We come and ask about your involvement in our lives. Even when we do not have clear answers, O Lord, our faith still tells us you are there. You are there for us. You are there with us. You are watching over us. You are walking our lifelong journey side by side. Sometimes when we feel like that we are walking on a steep hill, you are pushing us behind that we may not give up on the way, but still can go on. Sometimes, O Lord, we know that you even hold us in your strong arms and carry us. We see you, O Lord. We see you today. We see the traces of your mighty works and your presence in our past. And we know that you will continue to be our faithful companion into the future. So in spite of all the troubles, we come and worship you. We give you thanksgiving and praise for who you are and what we are. How wonderfully we've been blessed because you have come into our lives. We know you are the one who has power to open the doors when we feel like that we are at the dead end. You did it before, you are doing it again, and you will do it over and over. So, Lord, we don't have any other place of refuge but you. You are our salvation. You are the only Savior that we can cling onto. So we have come, acknowledging our weakness, our problems and troubles, acknowledging that you hold the keys of all the things that we are dealing with. So, Lord, give us the assurance of your presence once more, your presence right here in the midst of our troubles. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Knowingly and unknowingly. And because of your presence, O Lord, we have come this far. And we just don't have any other options but give you thanks. So we lift up our praises and thanksgiving unto you. And pray, O Lord, that our hearts will be filled with this thanksgiving, that we may continue on with this thanksgiving in our hearts and in our lives. Once more, we acknowledge that you are our sovereign God. Our life altogether belongs to you. You will in our lives, and everything is done according to your will. And your will is so perfect and wonderful for each and every one of us. And to that will, we yield once more. And as one community of faith, we now pray together the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for the Young at Hearts moment.
Today's story is The Magic Fish.
Adapted by Freya Littledale. Pictures by Winslow Penny Hells. Once upon a time, there was a poor fisherman. He lived with his wife in an old hut by the sea. Every day he went fishing. One day the fisherman felt something on the end of his line. He pulled and he pulled, and up came a big fish. "Put me back in the water," said the fish. "I am a magic fish. I'm really a prince." "Well," said the man, "if you are a prince, I will put you back in the water." And he did. That night his wife asked him, "Why didn't you catch any fish today?" "I did catch a fish," said the man, "but he was a magic fish. He said he was really a prince, so I let him go." "Silly man," said his wife, "why didn't you make a wish? Go back to the fish. Tell him I wish for a pretty house." "Why?" asked the man. "Never mind why," said his wife. "Go back and tell the fish I want a pretty house." "I don't want to go," said the man. "Go," said his wife. So the fisherman went back to the sea. The fisherman called, "O fish in the sea, come listen to me. My wife begs a wish from the magic fish." "What does she want?" asked the fish. "She wants a pretty house," said the man. "Go home," the fish said. "Now your wife has a pretty house." So the man went home. The old hut was gone. Now there was a pretty house. "This is very nice," the fisherman said to his wife. "We will be happy here." "We shall see," said his wife. The fisherman was happy. His wife was happy too. She was happy for 1 week. Then she said to the man, "Go back to the fish. Tell him I want more than a pretty house. I want to live in a castle." "Why?" asked the man. "Never mind why," said the woman. "Go back and tell the fish I want a castle." "But I don't want to go," said the man. "Go," said his wife. So the man went back to the sea. The man called, "O fish in the sea, come listen to me. My wife begs a wish from the magic fish." "Well," asked the fish, "what does she want now?" "She wants a castle," said the man. "Go home," the fish said. "Now your wife has a castle." So the man went home. The pretty house was gone, and there was a castle. "This is a beautiful castle," the fisherman said to his wife. "We will be happy here." "We shall see," said his wife. The fisherman was happy, and his wife was happy too. She was happy for 2 weeks. Then she said to the fisherman, "Go back to the fish. Tell him I want more than the castle. Tell him I want to be queen of the land." "Why?" asked the fisherman. "Never mind why," said the woman. "Go back to the fish and tell him I must be queen of the land." "I don't want to go," said the fisherman. "Go," said his wife. So the man went back to the sea. The man called, "O fish in the sea, come listen to me. My wife begs a wish from the magic fish." "Well," said the fish, "what does she want this time?" "She wants to be queen of the land," said the man. "Go home," said the fish. "Now your wife is queen of the land." So the fisherman went home. His wife was in the castle. She was sitting on a throne made of gold, and she wore a dress made of gold and a crown made of gold. "So," said the man, "now you are queen of the land. That is a fine thing to be. At last we can be happy." "We shall see," said his wife. And the fisherman was happy. His wife was happy too. She was happy for 3 weeks. Then she said to the fisherman, "Go back to the fish. Tell him I want to be more than queen of the land. Tell him I want to be queen of the sun and the moon and the stars. But why? Asked the fisherman. Never mind why, she said. Just go back to the fish. Tell him I want to be queen of the sun and the moon and the stars. I don't want to go, said the man. The fish will be angry. Go, said his wife. So the man went back to the sea. He called, O fish in the sea, come listen to me. My wife begs a wish from the magic fish. What is it? Said the fish. She wants to be queen of the sun and the moon and the stars, said the fisherman. No, said the fish. She wants too much. She cannot be queen of the sun. She cannot be queen of the moon and the stars. Now she must go back to the old hut. So the fisherman went home. The castle was gone. The old hut was back, and his wife was inside. And they are there to this very day. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen.
Women are just never happy. Okay, our next hymn is I Need Thee Every Hour, number 397, verses 1 through 3. Scripture reading today is Luke 17, 11 through 19. Jesus cleanses 10 men with a skin disease. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God in a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus then asked, "Were not the 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in here in this beautiful sanctuary. Make sure that you plan to be there next Sunday. We're going to have a feast. And some of you have not had a chance to taste how wonderful this Thanksgiving meal is at our church, including barbecued salmon, Alaskan salmon, that is. And I recommend you to bring your families, your friend, and enjoy the meal together. And I pray that your Thanksgiving will be filled with joy and laughter and happiness as you gather together with your loved ones. And also, at the same time, I'd like us to hear the messages of thanksgiving that has given to us by God this morning. One Sunday, Annie's pastor challenges his congregation to be aware of opportunities to testify for Jesus. Now, Annie was certainly known for her faith and her boldness in talking about the Lord. She was known to stand on her front porch and, for the benefit of her atheist neighbor, shout, "Praise the Lord," resulting in her godless neighbor's response, "There ain't no God." Hard times set in. And Annie stood on a porch and prayed, "Praise the Lord, I believe in your provision to send me some groceries." The next morning, she found a large bag of groceries on her porch, which caused her to shout, "Praise the Lord." On cue, her atheist neighbor jumped out from behind a bush and cried, "Hey, don't give God the credit. I bought those groceries. He didn't." Annie laughed, jumped up and down, clapped a hand, and shouted, "Praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." Who deserved the credit is a common question people ask. Recognizing someone for his dedication, memorable achievement, and contribution to the greater good is a proper thing to do. People who know my family say that my going into ministry had so much to do with my mother's lifelong prayer with dedication, with which I agree. Of course, my father played a huge role in my growing up. He always looked after my well-being. He was being very patient with my immaturity and supported me all along. Did I recognize their sacrifices and love for me and thank them? I did, but not good enough before their passing. Who and what we give Do we give credit for the good life we have? We can name many people who influence us positively and many edifying factors that contributed to it. But God deserved the biggest credit. Giving credit to God is often expressed by praises and thanksgivings, as we can see from what the Samaritan leper did after he was healed. The story of Jesus healing 10 lepers highlights the significance of acknowledging God and how believers sometimes overlook this naturally occurring act. Let us dig into this biblical event and look at it closely. Verse 11 says, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. This verse suggests that Jesus was en route to Jerusalem from Galilee. Galilee is in the northern part of Israel, Samaria is in the middle, and Jerusalem is in Judea in the south. Galilee and Judah were Jewish districts. Samaria was populated with half or less Jews. Samaritans did not keep the purity of their race by intermarriages. This practice of intermarriages goes back, way back in history. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. Samaritans intermarried with foreign settlers after the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. Also, exiling the natives was a common tactic of ancient empires such as the Assyrians and Babylonians. To erase racial identities in order to expand their territories and subjugate people in their colonies. The 10 tribes in the northern kingdom of Israel got lost this way, and probably intermarriages after their exile was the contributing factors to that. The book of Ezra, chapter 4, describes the remaining two tribes, that was Judah and Benjamin, did not want to mingle with Samaritans a couple of hundred of years later. The descendants of Judah and Benjamin returned from Babylonian exile and rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans wanted to help them, but they rejected Samaritans. See what they said in Ezra 4:3. You, Samaritans, have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord. Something similar was recorded in the book of Nehemiah. The high priest Eliashib married a daughter of Sanballat, the governor of the province of Samaria. To Nehemiah, Eliashib defiled the priesthood by marrying a non-Jewish woman. So Nehemiah drove Eliashib from Jerusalem. Sanballat was not a Jew, but a believer. According to the historian Josephus, Sanballat built a temple on Mount Gerizim in which his son-in-law, that is Eliashib, could serve as a priest. They say it was when the Jews and Samaritans split permanently. The hatred between Samaritans and Jews was still visible during Jesus' time. Remember the reaction of the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4? As Jesus asked her to drink, her response was, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And right after that remark, the gospel records that Jews do not associate with Samaritans. The two groups, Jews and Samaritans, experienced racial and geological divisions as the result. Instead of taking shortcut through Samaria, that is in the middle, right? Galilee is on top, Samaria in the middle, and Judah and Jerusalem was in south. So for them to travel, for the Jews to travel, how did they do it? They did not want to go through the Samaria, right? So they took detour, a long detour. They took the route on the west, that is along the Mediterranean Sea, or the east along with the Jordan River. That's what was going on. Remember the poem by Robert Frost, "The Road Not Taken"? A traveler stood at the fork in the road. After pondering on which road to take, he took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. What do we see in the brief description of the route that Jesus took? He went to the border of Samaria and Judah. Jesus took the road no one would want to travel. Both Samaritans and Jews did not want to meet with each other and avoided the border between Samaria of Judah and Samaria and Galilee up north. And actually, Jesus took the border between the Samaria and Galilee. It was no man's land. Both Samaritans and Jews obeyed the laws of Moses, which dictated that people with leprosy must be isolated from their villages. So, you know, there's nobody want to go there. That's why these lepers who are isolated from their homes, from their villages, live in that border. Jesus, of course, had a perfect knowledge of the laws of Moses. And we can assume that Jesus expected to meet the lepers in that isolated land and heal them. An interesting aspect of Jesus' healing was Jesus did not say to the lepers, "You are healed." He instead said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Priests were the ones who diagnosed leprosy and isolated the lepers from their homes. Leprosy was a terrible disease, but having to live in separation from their loved ones was even worse. When people get sick with physical ailment, they get to stay with their loved ones for care and support. However, leprosy ruins not only the body, but cut ties with their loved ones. Showing themselves to the priests means that they were healed and could go back to their loved ones. The 10 lepers here received two kinds of healings. One was the physical healing of the physical disease, and the other one was the healing of their broken relationship. What a healing. What a transformation that Jesus brought to them. However, there was a problem. The 9 did not bother to return to Jesus to thank him. With their own eyes, they saw the restoration of their skin, their monstrous faces returned to normal. They no longer had to hide from people. What was their reaction to this new life? The gospel says nothing. Nothing. How can anyone, not to mention Jesus, understand their ungrateful attitude? How can anyone who is given a second chance not do anything to the one who gave that chance? The 9 lepers being ungrateful for a new life is not just, is just incomprehensible. On the other hand, the Samaritan leper thanking Jesus was not an extraordinary act. He merely recognized the evident healing from Jesus. In spiritual terms, we can identify ourselves with 10 lepers. We once suffered from a deadly sin, just like leprosy. There was no cure for our sins, which isolated us from one another and from God. But Jesus came and healed sin-sick souls and reconciled us back to God and to each other. We know our spiritual condition before and after we had found faith in Jesus. We once were blind, but now we see so clearly. We cannot help but give thanks to the Lord. But that's not what happened to the 9 lepers. Helen Keller was a famous author and speaker. She lost her eyesight and hearing after suffering from an ailment when she was 19 months old. She wrote the following. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you would be stricken blind. If I had 3 days to see, this is what I would want to see. On the first day, I would want to see the people whose kindness and companionship have made my life worth living. I would call in my friends and look for a long time into their faces. I would also look into the faces of a new baby. I would like to see the many books which have been read to me. The next day, I would get up early to see the dawn. I would visit the museum to learn of man's upward progress in the making of things. I would go to an art museum to probe the human souls by studying paintings and sculpture. The third morning, I would again greet the dawn, eager to discover new beauties in nature. I would spend this last day in the hunts of persons where they work. I would stand at a busy street corner trying to understand something of the daily lives of persons by looking into their faces and reading what is written there. On the last evening, I would go to a theater and see a hilariously funny play so as to appreciate the overtone of humor in the human spirit. She just wished she couldn't see all those things. Helen Keller did not have the capability of physical sight, but by her faith, she could see the things of God so clearly. As I was listening to the children's story, I was thinking, you know, if I was in the Jesus position, you know what I would have done to the 9 lepers? You go back to the border, to the pre-existing condition. You deserve that, right? As the wife went back to the old hut. That would be the fair treatment. But Jesus didn't. As Helen Keller saw the things of God so clearly, by faith, we too can see things of God clearly, which we couldn't see before. Everywhere we look, we surely see God's grace, healing, goodness, provision, guiding hands, blessings, and salvation. The list goes on and on and on. God deserves credit for every good thing in our life. Thanksgiving and praises are due to God. Amen.
Now would be the time for our tithes and offerings, and we would like to thank everyone for giving their gifts to either in the collection plate or to the office and continuing to do so. Thank you. And we'll have some special music with Austin.
Good morning. Just wanted to say this song was requested by, is it Judith? She requested this song, and then, of course, she's not here today. So if I sing this song in the future, it's because of Judith. So.
I am tired and weary, but I must toil on till the Lord comes to call me away, where the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light and the night is as fair as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, I pray. No more sorrows and sadness, no more troubles will be. There will be peace in the valley for me. There the flowers will be blooming, the grass will be green, and the skies will be clear and serene. The sun ever shines, giving one endless beam, and no clouds there ever will be seen. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, I pray. No more sorrows and sadness or troubles will be. There will be peace in the valley for me. There the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion will lay down by the lamb. The host of the wild will be led by a child. I'll be changed from this creature I am. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. there will be peace in the valley for me. I pray no more sadness, no sorrow or troubles will be. There will be peace in the valley for me, for me,
and for you too.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
As we reflect upon all the blessings that you have bestowed in our lives, our feet, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and praise unto you, O Lord. So we give you this humble recognition of the amazing grace and blessings you have given unto us. And we bless you and bless the work of your ministry through this church. So receive this offering and bless it that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn today is All That I Can, All That I Shall. And it can be, and I can. This sentence is not coming out. And can it be that I should gain? Numbers 363.
You did it. It's a good one.
Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Die he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? This mystery all a mortal dies, who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph try to sound the death of love divine. His mercy, oh, let earth adore, let angels mine inquire no more. His mercy, oh, let earth adore, let angels mine inquire no more. left his father throne above, so free he saw infinite his grace. Empty himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's and helpless race. His mercy all immense and free, for my God is found out for me. His mercy all immense and free, for my God it found out me.
Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we acknowledge over and over this undeniable fact of life, that you came down to this humble earth from high above just to embrace me, to love me. And you gave your whole self to save me, O Lord. We thank you. We thank you today and forever for what you did in Calvary. May we remember this grace that you pour out upon us for our salvation in Calvary, and continue our life with gratitude and thanksgiving. For all the praises and thanksgivings are due to you, O Lord, for what you have done for us. So as we go from this place of worship, we ask you to send us forth with hearts filled with thanksgiving. And may we continue our journey, O Lord, with thanksgiving and praise unto your name, now and forever. Amen.
Be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love, and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace,